Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, January 9th. A Monument-based lawyer is headed to court for going public with information about bad air quality in Colorado Springs. Eric Galatis has more.
Leslie Weiss, who blew the whistle on pollution from a coal-fired power plant in Colorado Springs, is headed to court today. After a district court accidentally sent Weiss an air quality report, she shared it with the news media. Now, Colorado Springs Utilities, which operates the Martin Drake plant, is seeking attorney's fees and sanctions. Jackie Ostrom, former co-chair of the utility's Electric Integrated Resource Plan, says the court asked Weiss to return the report, which she did, but the court didn't prohibit Weiss from revealing its findings.
It does show noncompliance. It modeled the past from the emissions from the stacks with meteorological data from the airport. So all factual, measured information went into this model.
Weiss told the Colorado Springs Gazette that the study found sulfur dioxide violations of the Clean Air Act and other regulations at the Drake plant. The utility's CEO has denied any violations, and officials say releasing the report would violate attorney-client privilege. The 80-year-old plant is scheduled to be shut down by 2035. National air quality standards say sulfur dioxide can cause severe health effects in concentrations as low as 75 parts per billion, and exposure for as little as 5 minutes can cause respiratory distress, especially for children, the elderly, and people with asthma. Ostrom maintains that access to the report, which was paid for by ratepayers, is a public health issue.
Sulfur dioxide is one of the worst pollutants that we can breathe into our lungs. It causes asthma, which causes heart trouble. So it's pretty serious. And CSU is trying to hide how serious this has been in the past.
More than 1,400 Coloradans have signed a petition, and over 45 business and community leaders have signed a letter asking the utilities to release the air quality report. Nearly 300,000 people live within a five-mile radius of the Martin Drake plant. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
2016 was the year the collapse of the coal industry finally hit the epicenter of U.S. production, Wyoming's mineral-rich Powder River Basin. Two out of the four largest coal companies in the U.S. declared bankruptcy. They shed hundreds of their Wyoming miners all at once. In this story, Inside Energy's Lee Patterson takes us to northeastern Wyoming, where a recent boost in coal prices and production, along with a pro-coal president, has hopes rising.
Gillette, Wyoming, proudly calls itself the energy capital of the nation, and it's the largest coal-producing region in the U.S. by far. So with production ticking back up just past what it was at this time last year, you can feel the community breathing a sigh of relief.
I do believe that my friends and coworkers are safe for now.
The mine where Stacy Moeller works has been hiring back. Her conclusion?
For one more year, we're going to be coal miners.
And then there's the election. On November 9th, coal stock prices were up, and many in coal communities were celebrating. For Moeller, a single mom and a lifelong Democrat, it wasn't all that straightforward.
I did vote for Donald Trump. It's really hard to even say that because I so dislike his rhetoric. But I voted for him on one singular issue, and that was coal.
From West Virginia to Wyoming, coal country overwhelmingly voted for Trump and his message that he will bring coal jobs back. And in this time between the election and inauguration, people in coal communities are hanging their hopes on those campaign promises as a sort of last resort. U.S. coal production in 2016 is projected to be at its lowest level since 1978. Over the past few years, the nation has lost around 30,000 coal jobs.
So 2016 was a really difficult year.
More and more coal-fired power plants shut down, especially in Ohio, Georgia, and Kentucky. That's where Jeremy Murphy's from. And this time of year, he worries about other coal miners.
Not just here in Wyoming, but layoffs in Colorado, Kentucky, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Yeah, so that's my main thoughts for those guys this holiday and their families. And my hopes for 2017... you know, is that we're seeing a good boost in production here in the Powder River Basin.
A typical wintertime boost. But Gary Dawson is planning for the long term.
I'm 50 years old, and I'm a coal miner.
He's also a beekeeper. Dawson's family runs a small honey business that they're trying to grow.
as a backup plan.
Because Dawson doesn't want to be left without options. He's been there before.
We went bankrupt farming when I was in high school.
That means worrying about putting food on the table, being stuck with a house you can't sell. In Dawson's words, he doesn't want to put all of his eggs in the coal industry basket.
So right now we're trying to keep the job at the mine, keep the bees healthy, keep trying to produce honey in case coal doesn't come back.
The Energy Information Administration, or the EIA, is part of the Department of Energy. Analysts there predict that production will increase a little bit, around 2%, in 2017. But the main driver behind that increase has nothing to do with the presidential election.
It's the economics.
The price to generate electricity from natural gas versus coal, says Elias Johnson, an analyst with the EIA.
We are forecasting for natural gas prices to increase in 2017.
Which will make coal-fired electricity a little more competitive, he says. But looking beyond short-term predictions and presidential terms, the EIA's coal chart for Wyoming's Powder River Basin, going out to 2040, shows a long line of slow decline. For Inside Energy, I'm Lee Patterson.
And finally today, the new year ushered in a lot of pledges by Coloradans. Some want to lose weight or exercise more. Others want to save money or spend more time with their loved ones. But sticking to those resolutions isn't always easy.
About 4 in 10 of us make New Year's resolutions, but only a tiny fraction actually keep them. The top pledges center around health, losing weight, eating better, exercising more, or quitting a bad habit, such as drinking too much or smoking. Others include getting organized, saving money, spending more time with loved ones, or living life to the fullest. Research psychologist Dr. Frieda Birnbaum says often we fail to keep those promises because we make them too hard.
Resolutions need to be easier. We need to be more specific. If we make it doable, then it is doable.
She says to set a time that you'll go to the gym. Don't just promise that you'll get to it during a busy day. She says make it a routine. For example, set a time to work out each day, and she says you'll be more likely to stick to that resolution. Birnbaum believes it's more likely you'll stick to your guns if you don't let everyone know what you're doing.
And unlike what research tells you, that you should tell your friends about it so you can have support, I have found that it's better not to tell anybody about it so you don't have other opinions in your way and you can just move at your own pace.
Birnbaum also believes people make resolutions to lose weight for the wrong reasons.
You know, women are very, very into looking as good as they can, being as thin as they can, but it doesn't mean being as happy as you can. So we have to have perspective over our values.
Statistics show that by the end of this month, about 2/3 of those who made pledges will still be hanging in there. However, 6 months later, that number drops to just over 40%. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.